new systems of assessing electrophysiology, such as electroretinography, ERG, and visual evoked potential, VEP assessments, have been developed in the US and are being viewed with increasing interest by optometrists. Early results suggest they are easy to use. For example, an ERG is now possible with the application of one simple strip electrode under the patient's lower lid, and they are able to detect early disease damage, such as ganglion cell loss in early glaucoma. They're also being trialed as a way of assessing macular health, for example, while a patient is taking a potentially maculopathic drug, such as hydroxychloroquine. Our interviewer, Johan Panthaky, talks to consultant ophthalmologist Will Aliff, who's involved in UK-based trials looking at the technique.
Professor Aliff, welcome to this edition of Advances in Eye Care. Could you begin just by telling us a little bit about electrophysiology? Is it a new technique or has it been around a while?
Yes, electrodiagnostics is a very, very old technique. It was over 150 years ago when it was first realized there was an electrical polarity in the eye, and very rapidly people realized this was due to activity in the retina. And then in the 1940s, a series of brilliant experiments which picked apart exactly what was going on and which cell layer was involved in generating the various parts of the waveform was fully comprehended. And then people were able to use electrodiagnostics for very subtle clinical diagnoses, such as picking up inherited retinal dystrophies, abnormalities due to glaucoma, toxicities due to drugs such as chloroquine. And this was all very, very well established over the last 30 and 40 years, really.
Could you tell us a little bit about the older techniques and how it's sort of evolved into the newer technologies of what we're hearing about today?
Well, despite its great potential for clinical use, electrodiagnostics has been underused because it involved very prolonged testing. It involved invasive electrodes, particularly in the cornea. It had to be done in special centres. The output was very complicated, and we had to have specialist people to interpret the output and pass it on to us. So we didn't use electrodiagnostics as much as we needed to. We tended to reserve it for those cases of unknown cause of vision loss, or in family histories of people losing vision due to various retinal and cone dystrophies.
And the technique, obviously, we know now it's been very successful in the United States. Do you think it's going to play a really big role in the United Kingdom as well?
The great difference between the old technique and the new techniques, such as diopsis, is the ability to obtain repeatable and useful results without needing the invasive technique. So this has now become an office procedure using skin electrodes. This means that the test is much less expensive, it's much more available, it's affordable, and gives us the potential now for using electrodiagnostics on a daily basis to help us manage our patients and to pick up disease in a much earlier stage than we're currently able to do with available technologies.
What sort of diseases in particular do you think in terms of primary care will it be most useful for?
In primary care, the most useful disease is probably going to be glaucoma. And the advantage of using electrodiagnostics is picking up disease at an early stage. So the traditional way of diagnosing glaucoma was whether you had a field defect or not. That became fairly obvious that this was a late stage of damage to the retina, and maybe 30 or 50% of the ganglion cell layers had to be lost in that area before a field defect showed up. The advent of OCT scanning was a major step forward because now we could pick up the early signs of glaucoma before a field defect was apparent by picking up this thinning. The problem with both of these techniques is they only analyze death, only analyze dead cells. Is there a technique where we can pick up before the cells die, when they're just sick, and intervene at that stage? Well, the answer is yes. It's been well shown and documented over many years that electrophysiology can predict changes that are going to occur in the optic nerve and nowadays are going to be picked up by OCT. The nice thing about picking up these changes early is if we intervene, we may be able to prevent cell death and we may be able to give a better prognosis long term for people with glaucoma. The second clinical uses that will occur will be to monitor the retinal function in diseases such as macular degeneration and in diabetes. And of course, there's also the use for picking up unknown causes of visual loss or in monitoring family members of people who have inherited retinal diseases.
Given that it has this predictive ability, do you think that it's going to be complementing the current techniques that are used by optometrists, or do you think that it will just completely replace what is being used currently?
I think it will never entirely replace, and I don't think it needs to. I think it's going to be very complementary. I think it can be a routine test that can be done in the office. It's going to be helpful when we have suspicious findings, for example, on an OCT. We're not sure whether this patient is actually developing glaucoma or not. Do we need to start treatment? Well, if the electrophysiology is showing asymmetrical differences, and these are compatible with what is being suspected on the OCT, I think it's very likely to help us intervene appropriately in people, for example, with ocular hypertension or with other factors for progressive nerve fibre layer loss before they run into permanent structural damage.
Are there any other uses you foresee for this method for the detection and management of perhaps particular diseases or even other novel uses that it's not been used for in the past?
I think there won't be any novel uses because all the uses have been well established in the literature using the traditional techniques, which of course will still be there, and there will still be patients who will need to have the laboratory assessment and specialist interpretation. Where this technology is going to come in is in everyday use. I think it will become very useful, as we've mentioned before, for monitoring diabetic maculopathy, for monitoring age-related degeneration. It might be able to help us make decisions about frequency of injections and to prevent unnecessary injections of anti-VEGF agents that can actually cause harm to the retinal pigment epithelium. There will always be new cases and new diagnoses within a month of having the Darpsis system in our hospital. We found a patient who had got slightly poor vision in one eye. Her symptoms were much worse than the signs we could pick up. OCT, field, everything was normal. There was no afferent defect. She turned out to have demyelination just at the edge of the chiasm. And in fact, on MRI scanning, turned out to have early multiple sclerosis. So this was a really important diagnosis. And if we hadn't have got easy access to electrical diagnostic testing, we probably would have picked this up a lot later in the course of the disease.
How do you think and what do you think we can do in terms of encouraging high street optometrists and primary care optometrists to adopt this technology? And what specifically do you think they need in terms of training to get to grips with this?
The training is very straightforward. It's easily within the training abilities of technicians and it doesn't need to be a specialist optometric trainee to do this test. The interpretation of the results is automatic, and that's one of the wonderful things about this. You have the output very clearly delineated for you, which helps you make decisions in a real-time situation and very rapidly for the patient. I think there will be a resistance because this is disruptive technology. Rather like when the early snowstorm OCTs came out, everybody said, well, this is going to have no relevance to glaucoma whatsoever. And for a while, nothing happened. But now it's almost impossible to manage glaucoma without having this technology available. I think this is where this technology of diopsis and electrophysiology is going to go. It is going to have such wonderful ways of predicting and preventing progression of disease, that it will be in most clinics and centres within a few years.
Being that you've got a lot of experience in using this already, could you tell us a little bit about how accurate you found the new system to be and how repeatable the results have been as well?
The results are remarkably repeatable, and accuracy is astonishing for diseases where, for example, we're going to be doing an MRI scan to find a structural defect. I personally haven't followed people with DARPSIS for 10 years to see whether it is predictive of subsequent loss of function and structure in glaucoma. However, I don't need to. Those tests have already been done, and we know the answer to that question. So I am not going to wait. If I see asymmetrical abnormalities and I've got suspicion that there may be progressive disease, I will intervene now early, and I will not wait to see whether they're going to develop permanent, destructive, irreparable disease to the visual pathways in the future. That experiment has already been done and repeated many times.
So really, we're going to be able to preserve the quality of vision before it's really lost and impacts quality of life as well.
Absolutely. And for a tissue that, unlike other tissues in the eye, such as the cornea or the lens, which can be restored and have prostheses put in, this is actually protecting the retina, which is currently irreparable.
Thank you, Will and Johan. And that brings this edition of Advances in Eye Care to a close. We always value your input, so please feel free to send us feedback on what you've heard today and any suggestions you may have for future content. To submit your comments, please email inquiries@docket.info. And if you'd like to find out more about the topics we've discussed in this edition, remember that you can find references and further reading for all items by visiting the website. That's all for me, Jeff Watts. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon with the next edition of Advances in Eye Care.